My name is Luciana. Today I will be presenting how we work with FLAIR, Lingo, and Capture integration for system internationalization. Briefly, I've been working for a Brazilian software house for the last 10 years. I started there as a technical writer, and I became a knowledge management coordinator. The name of the company is Senior Sistemas. It's a little bit paused there. Okay. Okay. Here are some numbers. Senior has been in the market for the last 30 years. It provides software for human capital management, ERP, CRM, some software for business. And it has something around 1,200 employees. It attends seven market segments. These are some of the most important prizes this company has received during the last years. Last year, we were granted with this Human Being Prize. It was over our knowledge base model, so it was interesting to receive a prize for our knowledge base model, and it's upon this. All of this documentation was built with FLAIR. Today I will be explaining how we work with the translation of the human capital management software in these modules that are management dashboard, career and succession, performance management, recruitment management, remuneration, and also MOODS, that is a continuous climate survey. This is the face of the software. Maybe the letters are a little small. The intention of this kind of this interface is that it explains itself to the user. So we don't build a field-by-field online help for this kind of software. For this kind of software, we only build a business process manual kind of documentation. So you won't have the usual online documentation for this. The intention is that this kind of interface will explain itself to the user what are the steps, what are the things that they have to do. So what we actually translated in terms of documentation is our business model, business process manual. It is divided into modules, processes and roles, and we're talking about something around 120 pages. This is the face of our documentation portal. So on the left side, you can see our table of contents. It can be hidden if you prefer to. And on the right side, we use these icons so that the user would find the information that they need in a more quickly way. This would be the project in our FLAIR view at the right side. You can see that we organize information in files and folders, and it is based on our table of contents. We do have multiple outputs, so we use a lot of this resource that is the conditional tags. I believe most of you are used with it. Do you know how the conditional tags work, right? So those boxes, those colored boxes that you have on the right side, they show for each output where what kind of information should go to each of these outputs. Okay, so we have web helps. We also have workbooks. We provide documents for the corporate university and for other internal areas. So there's information that only our employees would be able to see, and we have other documents that will be available online for our clients and for all of our network. We use a lot of single sourcing. It is a very important resource that we have in FLAIR, and it has helped us through the years for us to develop and to deliver all of these different documents for our knowledge base. This is the face of one of our HTML documents. We have it divided with these colors. These colors will show then what are these conditional tags. The light green one over there shows information that would only be presented like in a word format, and we have the light gray one that will be only on our PDF format. We work with 20 technical writers at the same time. We have several projects, and in order for us to maintain consistency among CSS and all of the style that we want to have, we design an issue that's called a common target. This is a way that we organize the information in order for all of our technical writers use the same kind of skin and the same snippets and images and templates. You use the usual target, but we just don't use an output for it. And the idea is that before you are going to build your project, you import this target, and then you use it, and then you will be building your project in order for it to be published. All of our documentation is published in a documental portal. It is open, it is free, it is online, it works 24/7. If you want to access it, the links are in the presentation. If you access by the app, you can access documentation.com and check out how is this information there. Over there, we are providing user manuals, release notes, news. It is accessible via browser, and we also use the F1 button, so you can access by the software itself. Last year, this documentation portal was very largely visited. We received more than 12 million page views last year, something around 200,000 clients or users monthly, 65% of them in a regular base, and like 35% are newcomers. So we were very pleased with these results. All of these ways of showing information, everything is designed and developed using Flare. We've been using Flare for the last 7 to 8 years, and it has been a very important partner for us. And we have received a good amount of feedbacks that has helped us to continuously grow and get better our documentation. This is the face of our documentation portal. In the upper side, you can see all of the products that we provide. All of those bullets will open for documentation of the manuals, of the user guides, and in the lower part, you can see other important resources. It's a little slow. This resource down is, we use the slideshow. It is a very nice resource that Flare has. We've been using it in order to kind of promote the most important information that we want our users to visit. This is the face of our bot. She is integrated with our knowledge base, and she is able to provide answers to our clients. And all of the information that she will bring is from our knowledge base that is built in Flare. So this is a very... Okay, then it went. We use it to publish news and to inform our clients about lately releases. This is the way that we organize our Flare project. So for the... I will be speaking of three things. First, how we work with the system internationalization, this HCM system. Second, it would be our portal. And third, our manual. Okay, so for our portal, we don't use a table of contents. we have an organization that is not organized over a talk. We do have multiple outputs, and we use this conditional text for organizing and delivering information for each of them. And we have a lot of single sourcing among these projects. So this would be the phase, the page layout from Flare. This is the same information that we saw in the previous print, and this would be on Flare, the way that a technical writer would see it. What was our problem? What was the objective of the company? So Senior was interested in starting to get international, to work with different languages, and chose English and Spanish. The original is in Portuguese. 2018, it was a very interesting year for us. It was important for HCM to go international. So we had this challenge to translate, and those are the tasks that we will be speaking today. We also had the chance, as I became a coordinator, we understood that only to translate was not what we needed. We needed someone that would really understand the business process that we were talking about. And so we transformed the translator into a technical writer that is bilingual. So these professionals do work with two or three languages. We have one professional for Spanish, actually two at the moment, and one for English. This photo here is from João. He is from my team, and he helped me a lot with all of these prints. And he is the really technical guy, so if you have very difficult questions, I would highly recommend you to get in touch with him. He would love to answer them, because as I became a coordinator, I got a little far from very naughty details, so maybe I won't be helpful in some cases. But it was very good as a development for these professionals, because the translator usually is working from the word translation, from the perfect term to translate something. But sometimes, and absolutely if we are talking of a business process, sometimes it is difficult for them to understand what's the best word in a context to explain what are we talking about. So it was maybe a small change, but it had a huge impact for us. So the bilingual writers are dedicated to each language. As I said, we have two for Spanish, we have one for English. We adopted agile best practices, and we organized our work that way. We are talking about a lot of projects happening simultaneously, only for the HCM product. That is only one of the products that we translated. The others are not translated yet. We're talking about maybe 10 projects happening at the same time for development. So these professionals have to work in all of them, and sometimes it gets a little difficult to be able to deploy the system translated at the same time that we are deploying the Portuguese original. But we managed to do it. This is the face of one of our softwares. This would be the continuous survey software, and its version in English. And here we have the face of the software. This would be the HCM system for Spanish. This is the Lingo project. So how do we organize information? We have one file per module. So I told you we have like six modules that we are translating, then we will have one file for each of them. And on the right side of the image, you can see the amount of segments that we will be having to translate. When we had a new information coming, we would only have to translate the new content. We don't have to go on and translate everything again, as it happens when you're working with a Word document, for example. So we do have great gains of productivity using this kind of tool. Yesterday I went very quickly when I was speaking. I hope that today I won't be too slow. So I'm just trying to manage the time because I was very fast yesterday and I ended my speaking 15 minutes, I believe so. So I'll take it a little slower today. This is the face in Lingo. Okay. So at the left side, we have the original in Portuguese. And on the right side, we have the information, the same content in English. If you may see the status column, we have like 101% of match. Do you know what that means? We use translation memories. So this means that as long as you go on working with these translation memories, you have more input, you have more information that you already validated, and you are sure of that kind of translation. So when you start working with translation memories, maybe it's a little slower, maybe it would take a little more time, but it is very useful. In a short period of time, we started having the same kind of information coming for us to be translated. And this resource is very helpful because it shows a percentage of the match from what you have in your translation memory and what you are trying to translate. And as you may see, all of this status is more than 100%, so we feel very safe to just check quickly and do an okay and go for the next group of segments. So that part was for system internationalization. That means that all of the lines that we were seeing are the words that will be presented in the interface for our clients. Okay? It's very easy. Now I'm going to talk about how we translate our manual. Okay? I don't know if you rather have your questions at the end of the speak, or if you have questions at the moment, please feel free to ask me. How did we work with the manual? So the manual is a little different. Manual is built in Portuguese. It has a lot of modifications that go on a daily basis. And we have to wait for this manual to be completed in Portuguese in order for us to translate it to the other languages. So at the moment, we have a delay of about one sprint, let's say like one week or two, depending on the quantity of information. This is mostly something that happens due to our organization and the size of our team. I don't think it's something necessarily that has to do with the software, with Lingo. If we were able to have more people working there, maybe this could be quicker. Okay? So how is the way that we work this? Here we have a visualization of our manual. You can see the resources that, like drop-downs, like here. These are resources from Flare. So we build this manual first in Flare, and then we will be importing it to Lingo in order to translate it. Here you have other resources in a Spanish version. So how does it work? First, you have to work on Flare. Have this project built on Flare, use the resources that you like there. Every one of them will be useful. We like to use these small bullets that appear with the words explaining the like little content, like micro content. We also use very much these drop downs. And the thing is, built it correctly, built it nicely on Flare, and then import it to Lingo and start translating it there. In the file list, you may see how we organize all of our files in the TOC manner that I told you, that we organize our files. And here is how Lingu is integrated with Flare. So the first step, as I say, build your manual in Flare. Then you will be creating a new project in Lingu. You will select the Flare project as a file that will be translated. Then you import it, and you start using the translation memory, if you have it, or otherwise start feeding it with the translations. And then you will export this translation as a new project. And the output would be a Flare project translated and ready to build. Let's take a look of how does this look like. So here we have the Content Explorer. This would be Flare. On the left side, we have the files. And on the right side, that HTML that I was showing you that have these conditional tags. Once we brought it to Lingu, it looks like this. So you have the list of files that you will be translating. You have the number of segments, and you have a status. So some of that content might be already translated due to this memory translation that we use. And on the right side, you will have the segments. And in this case, all of them are matching because we are using it for a long time. But sometimes you will have like 70% or 50%, and it will show what are the words that you still have to translate. So it's a very interesting, very resourceful. Here is how we are working now with Capture. Capture is a very easy resource for us. It was very nice to complement our documentation with it. We use it to create flowcharts, screenshots, and diagrams. This translation, this image down there, is already translated, and it was done with Capture. It is very nice to have this integrated natively. So here we have an image or a flowchart that was created in Capture. You can easily edit this text. Lingu will also import it and show what are the segments that have to be translated. And if you have this translation memory, you could always use it as well to translate what you need. You very easily can see and find what are the files that you are using and how they will be imported lately to your project. So here we have a final result with all of the parts that we were talking about. This one is generated using Flare. So in the process, we started with a Flare project in Portuguese. We imported it to Lingu. We used our translation memory. We worked on it. We designed these flowcharts. We used the translation memory to translate it. We leave the image there. You import it again in Flare. Then you build, and you have your output. And when you compare your, or let's say in our case, our original is in Portuguese, and you compare it with your Spanish, and you compare it with your English, the three of them will have the same appearance, the same organization of information, and the output would be almost perfect. Okay. Is that okay? Okay, then let's talk a little bit about how we translate our portal. In this case, we are talking about documentation of only two products, two out of seven products. It's not a lot of content, because we don't have all of the products translated. So it would be a smaller amount of work here. Here we have a visualization of the same main page of our portal, but with the products that we are translated in English. and in Spanish, also with this slideshow resource. So you can see that the appearance of it is very similar. You don't have to do too many different things to make it look the same. You just have to choose what kind of information you want to show. And if we had all of the products translated, we would be having the same exact way of watching, of seeing this information. So how is this FLAIR project for our portal? As we are working with bilingual technical writers, in this case, we don't use Lingo. We are actually building the information over FLAIR in the native language in each of them. It would be easier, it would be faster, but this, again, due to the organization, due to the our objective, it is a smaller quantity of information. There's no need for us to do all of this. But we are prepared to do that. So if we need to import the portal for Lingo, we would be able to do it. Okay. This is the way that we work with a FLAIR project for these three languages. So again, our Content Explorer with all of our boxes for different outputs. And on the right side, you have the page layout with information and the conditional texts. So here you can see, let me zoom that out. Yes. Here we have these three outputs. We will have like a home in Portuguese, a home in Spanish, and a home in English for us to easily identify. Oops, let me get back a little bit. Okay. So until there, that was the whole work that we did on translating the portal. It was a very good tool for us. It was very easy for us to work like that. Again, if you need to work with other languages, I do recommend using translation memory for that. And how was the way that we organized our team to work with this? Senior works with an agile process at the moment. We only had two or three technical writers working for all of the projects at the same time. So we also adopted agile processes. And this is just a very quick overview of how we organized our team. It was very nice because we were able to achieve a Kanban level 2 model of maturity. And this was also from the way of working, the way that we organized our team. So we were able to have each and every technical writer working from the beginning of the development project. They would be being part of the project since inception. And this will give a different point of view for our development team. It's not easy to convince our developers to welcome a technical writer or a bilingual technical writer in their team. But it is interesting in an organizational way of working, and it brought a lot of knowledge to these professionals. So, again, not only a translator, and yes, a technical writer that works with different languages. So if this person is able to understand the business process that's behind, it would be much easier and in a better quality to transform that information, to translate that information. Okay. We started in inception, so we have the UX team, the product owner, and also the technical writer working together. We managed to have validation over this documentation with our support team. That was very important for us to reduce the quantity of tickets from the support from our clients. And we developed also a board in order to follow all of these deliverables. We chose a top 10 deliverables, and we follow it with a weekly evolution. Okay, and this translation squad, they are working jointly with the development team. This is something different. The development team would be creating the software, and as I told you, these interfaces, they have to speak by themselves. They have to explain to the user what to do. And we intend to have that correctly in the first deployment so that we have the minimum impact possible for our users. And the technical writer will help to write this text in Portuguese and also in the other languages that you will be working. This is our board, just a quick view of it. It is nice to use agile processes because everybody sees how their work is going on. And this was our internationalization board. And here we have, of the whole group, we're talking about 7 products. We're talking about 11 different outputs, documentation that would be delivered for the corporate university, documentation that would be delivered only for marketing team, other that would be delivered only for internal use. And this was a very nice way of organizing this teamwork. These are the links for our portals. These links are available in the presentation, so you can access them at any moment. They are not, you don't need authentication to access them. They are free and they can be visited at any time. Please leave your feedback. It would be nice for them to know that you visited it. And I tried to speak very slowly, but even though I tend to run a little bit, so this is most of what I had to present today. I thank you very much for your time, and I'm open for questions, if you'd be kind. Yes.
So do you run Lingo on a, do you use source control for Lingo and for your Flare project?
Could you help me with source control? What
so,
would that
so
be?
Do you have a central server that when you're running Lingo or Flare, is it on the individual's machine or is it on a server somewhere that is updated?
No, we use in each. Each technical writer has his own Lingo and Flare, and we use a CVS for committing this content. Did that answer your question?
So is CVS, so what is, I'm not familiar with CVS.
Okay, it helped him. I don't know if I would be the best person to explain what is a CVS, but I understand it like there's a resource where you can commit all of your content.
So, and other people then can see what's been changed.
Yes, and simultaneously.
Right.
Okay. So, if we have 3 professionals working on 1 HTML file, and one makes a change, and then will commit that change, the other will download that project. I would put it like simple like that, and then we'll make their changes and commit it again. It's like the same way that the software is built. We work the same way with documentation and translation. Yes, please. I don't know if you want to use the microphone, maybe, because I think it's recorded.
Okay. Just trying to get a feel for how long it's going to take for that, all the changes to get built back into the experience with that, the actual changes?
Like the question, let me see if I understood correctly. You produce books.
Right.
And you...
We work with a translation company.
Okay.
So we've given them, we haven't actually done this yet, we've just done a pilot project. But once we have the actual book already translated, then we have updates to the book.
Yes. Lingo is a very good tool for that, because you would only have to translate the new part that was
right.
imported.
Right. That's quicker, and then you can pull that.
Absolutely, out. Absolutely. We were. Oh yes, please. I have one expert in the room. If you may help me, I don't know if this microphone is working and the technician is not there. Okay.
I use business Dropbox, and so my translator will have the updated Lingo project as soon as it updates her Dropbox, which is just almost instantaneous, and then she can just go in, look for the new file changes, make those changes, and save them. I get them almost instantaneously, so I can export that Lingo into a new Spanish project and build whatever I need to, and in ideal conditions, because she works very closely with me, I can do I can have the new published within 30 minutes. No, I just know a lot of people in Mexico, so I have a translator I've been using down there for a long time, and she just I have her set up down there. Yeah, I can turn around a translation, an update to a manual in 30 minutes. But that's, you know, if you're using a translation company, well, and I'm just saying if she's available right then.
Right.
I'm just saying under ideal conditions.
Yes.
So, but if you have to wait for the... But other than that, I mean, it's pretty much just a matter of how long it takes to just physically click the buttons.
Yes. Thank you, Ken. We helped the company as to translate our kind of documents, not only technical documentation, thanks, but for example, the marketing area needed some documents to be translated, and we only have two translators, so, and we have Lingo, so why not? Yes, and then we received these documents. They would be like contracts, or they could be like other kind of marketing material, for example. And sometimes you just receive, and it's the first time that you get that document. And you put it in Lingo, and it will go after your translation memory, and it will find words that you've already used. And you know, when you're working in a company, usually you have the same information, the same kind of words, the same way of writing things, so the segments will bring you, the translation memory will bring you some information. Sometimes they will bring like, oh, this contract, it has to be translated for yesterday, and it's Friday, like 5 p.m., and you have to run. And that was something very nice that we had the chance to do with Lingo, because you import this document, and they're starting, okay, how long will it take? Can you give me I need to know how long it will take to translate this. So we started making this, estimating how long it would take with the information that we get from this status column. So you have an idea of how long it would take. And we were able to deliver like 10 pages contract in 20 minutes, so that was very good, and they starting to get used to that. That was not that good. I don't know if that helped.
Yes, it did.
Yes, please.
Thanks. I was just curious. I found that the model that you described as regards having a bilingual technical writer is very interesting, and I was curious if other people are familiar with that sort of approach, or if you would like to talk a little bit more about what other solutions are available, because I'm sort of curious. I don't know how familiar people are with localization and translation workflows and that sort of thing. I was just curious if other people were utilizing that in their companies, or if you want to talk a bit more about what sort of alternatives might exist, because maybe they don't have the resources to be able to find those type of individuals in their companies for this work.
We send everything out to a translation
center. Right.
It depends to how many languages you have. Like, we have
right.
Like 30 plus.
Right.
Are you going to answer? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have bilingual technical writers, which is super intriguing, and I wish we did, but we translate into 31 languages, and once we started using Flair, we did transition to MAD translations, which previously we used a different translation company, but by using MAD translations, it... The combination of Flair and Lingo and the files that they send back, you know, they send you their translation memory. They send back things exactly how you've created it. And so it works, you know, lickety-split, really.
The desktop publishing part of things, is it faster than that? Right now, like, our old processes, the framing files.
Yeah. Oh, it takes away all of that because you're getting, so you're, like, we translate snippets as opposed to, I'm sure some people can translate topics, but all of our content at the lowest level is a snippet, obviously. And so we just send a subset of snippets, the new non-translated, the new information. They send it back in snippets via, by language. You just dump it into your project and you build your project. So, I don't know, Mike McDermott, he's heads up the MAD translations. I highly recommend talking with him. They've just held our hand throughout the whole process, so it's been amazing. So it definitely, it totally eliminates the desktop publishing that you're talking about, like the placing translation, so to speak. You just dump it into your Flair project, the snippets they send back, and... you build your target. You know, you update your TOC and build your target. So
it
highly recommend
it. All of
it.
The resources, yes. Thank you very much. You're very certain of what you're saying, and it is... Oh, let me go. It is very easy, and you just don't feel stressed there. You just import the information. It is translated, and you don't need to worry about layouts or how to make it fit, or that kind of information would be lost in some place, or that it won't be a snippet anymore and it become an H1, that kind of thing. Never happened. Never.
There's a lot of DTP involved in the process, and we have someone who's a coordinator of all the translation, and he handles that with the translation house. But we're trying to figure out what we're going to gain and the time, you know, because we have so many books and so many languages, it's kind of complicated, and we're trying to figure out the easiest way to streamline the process. Yeah, it's hard actually to quantify what, like, how long it is going to take. I mean,
oh, more than half.
Wow, yeah.
Based on what she was saying, that you eliminate any kind of formatting issues.
Right, right.
Or accidentally placing the wrong piece of text, wrong, you know.
Right, right.
Hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
At least the less, attach, yeah. The half, as you say, yeah. Or three yeah. times, yeah.
Do your illustrations have call-outs?
Yes, they do, yeah.
So one of the most important parts about all of this is that lingo, if you are doing your call-outs in Capture, your call-outs are automatically a part of the translation package.
Yes.
So that everything, your translator just sees those as more segments. Every sentence is a segment. In
right, right.
So it's just other segments. And they have access in Lingo to all the files. So you can have any files, even CSS file, if you need that translated for some strange reason. But everything is there. And it's Lingo is open source. So the translation memory that you build can be used with other products.
Right.
But Lingo fits in with Capture Flare so well that the workflow is simplified down to nothing. I mean,
right.
You don't have to be concerned with things like call-outs.
Right, right, right.
Because it's part of the package.
Right. Yes. That's
but
awesome.
I also recommend using Mad Translations as your translator because we use a third party and it was a nightmare.
Yes.
It took a year to get it set up. They kept sending back files that Lingo couldn't open.
Yeah.
And we had all these errors, and they had to rewrite their code to work with Lingo. So I would say if you can, just switch to that translation.
Right, right, yeah.
Well, in your translator, you work with Lingo. You can give them a copy of Lingo, and they can work with it. In any translator, I mean, Lingo is not as full-featured as some of the other programs of its type, but it's more than sufficient for what you're going to be doing. And anyone who's working in that field that's familiar with translation software can easily adapt to, or it's been my experience that they can easily adapt to Lingo, and then I just think it's easier than bringing in a third party source.
Yeah.
And also, it might depend on your, I was trying to see what company.
Oh, it's a medical device company.
Yeah. So that's one, I could talk to you about it afterwards. I don't know if anybody else has. I've been an account manager for a translation company that worked with medical device and pharma.
Okay.
So often you need ISO 13485.
Right. It's the regulatory stuff is a lot, a lot of limitations. Yeah.
And I don't, I think, are you a medical device also?
That's fine.
Yeah, so I think yeah. Mike McDermott sounds like it's a really good resource, but I'd be happy to talk to you also afterwards if you want
sure.
some ideas, because I work for a different company, but we do deal with a lot of the same problems. So I think that all of the ideas are really interesting about how to approach it. I think it really depends on what your resources are and how you how your company is structured and what you have built as you and how you work with the
right, yeah.
I don't know how it works in your companies, but we received once a very urgent demand for us to translate software, and we didn't have a good translation memory. We were just starting with that. And we were able to import translation memories from other companies, from other sources. And it was very easy. You just import it to Lingo, and Lingo will start recognizing. So your translator or your technical writer who just have to kind of review what Lingo is suggesting. So then if you're like, I'm worried because I don't have this translation memory, I will start from zero now. There are ways that you can go faster and import this information. And it won't affect any of your format. And it's very easy. It's very clean. Any other question or contribution? I love this open discussion. It's very rich. Is that it? I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.